Amen. Let us continue worshiping the Lord this morning in spirit and in truth. Hymn number 90 in our hymn book. Hymn number 90, as we worship God in His fullness and His glory. Let us all stand together as we sing, "Come, Christians, join to sing loud praise unto Christ, our King," number 90. Father, we thank You for the blessing of being able to come to lift up our voices in praise to You before Your throne, before You this morning. We thank You that You've told us that Your Son Jesus is right here in our midst, where two or three are gathered together in Your name. We thank You for such a promise from Your Scriptures. We pray that You would, as You look upon this service today, that You would be pleased and honored and glorified by all that is said and done in way, by way of singing, by way of testimonies, by way of the preaching of Your Word, that we would be edified by way of fellowship after the service, that You would just encourage us this morning, as we thank You that we have not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, even as the day of Your return approaches. Amen. Lord, we know that from the signs around us that things are getting worse. We see that the world is getting intolerant of Christianity on every side, biblical Christianity, born again, what Jesus preached, Christianity. But we know that these are signs of the times that we live in. And that Jesus said, "Will faith be found on the earth when I come back?" Lord, we pray You'd help us today to be spirit-filled Christians, Lord, that any area that You speak to us about, that we'd be willing to do business with You today. That we would not just be Christianity as usual, business as usual, but that we would say, "Lord, I need You in my life. I need not just a little bit of You, I need all of You. I need to be filled with Your Spirit this morning." Lord, help us, if as You speak to us, that we'd be willing to put aside any of our own worldliness, or any of our own selfishness, any of our own sinful attitudes or actions, Lord, that we would put it off and put on the right thing, that we'd put on the truth of Your Word this morning. You'd speak to our hearts. We pray You'd be with those in the hospital. We think of Patty Campbell, Lord. We pray You'd put Your healing hands upon her in a great and mighty way. We thank You, Lord, for bringing her through that emergency surgery on Thursday night for her perforated bowel. Perforated colon, Lord, we know that is very serious, and it could have meant death for her, but we thank You that You spared Patty, and that You are now healing her, Lord. We pray You just continue to heal her in intensive care there at Shore. I pray You just continue to heal her body in a mighty way, give her the doctors, the nurses that she needs, the help We pray as they look to long-term rehab that you would just help her in the, as she will probably have to go to a care facility for a little while, for a few weeks or 5 weeks. Lord, I pray you just give her exactly what she needs at this time and help her to recover and recuperate. Lord, we pray you'd also move it upon the staff there at her apartment complex to get her a downstairs apartment, Lord. We pray you just move and work in a mighty way. Lord, I pray you'd help Patty at this time. And we pray you'd help, bless all the ladies who are being a blessing to her. Bless them richly for their Christian love and labors of love, Lord, that you just give them back 100-fold. And I pray you just bless each one of us as we serve you in the many capacities and areas of ministry that we do, Lord. We thank you that we know it is not labor in vain, but that one day that we will see you face to face and it will be worth it all. Amen. When we see you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to continue to serve and love one another, especially those of the household of faith, and as well our unsaved people all around us, Lord. Help us to care for their soul, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning and tonight about the very important matter of concern about our brother's soul and our person next to us, their soul at work and at home in our neighborhoods. Lord, that you just do a mighty work in our hearts this morning. And we pray you'd be with anyone else who's hurting, that you just put your healing hands upon them. Thank you that Penny Hunger Bueller is back home. We pray you just continue to heal her, help them to find just the right place to live in. That you just open the doors for John and Penny. We pray you just bless us here as a church, Lord. We thank you for opening the doors once again for the Good News Club at the Northfield Community School. Amen. We do not take that lightly, knowing that at any moment, any time, the wrong person could come in and try to impede the work of the ministry there and telling kids about Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd bring in the laborers this fall for the 5 weeks, three in November, three Thursdays in November and two Thursdays in December, Lord. You bring in the volunteers necessary to help these young people come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. And then for us to be able to disciple those who are already saved, you give us the workers for that time. And I pray you just bless and guide the other ministries of this church, the Meadowview service each Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We thank you for that. Thank you for Esther. And the others, any others who help in that ministry, Lord, we thank you for the many souls that have been harvested for you over the years and now being discipled for you. Lord, we know that in eternity we will see the difference our church has made there. Lord, but we know it's not for our honor and glory, but it's for your honor and glory, Lord. And I pray you just help us not to be weary in well-doing. We pray also for Atlantic Adult Day Center ministry, that you'd bless that ministry as well, Lord. Keep that going. Keep Carol well, and help Roy with his bouts that he's going through of health. Lord, I pray you just keep him well, that he can get back to going there this Wednesday. And we pray for Pastor Logan and his ministry there, and bless him for that. And we pray you just bless and guide this week, Lord, that we would praise you, and we thank you for it. We pray you bless our church, bless our missionaries, the Bruners in the Philippines, preaching your word and planting churches. Pray for their sister, their daughter works there, the two daughter works, and the mother church there, that Brother Bruner's planted. Lord, I pray you just bless him and the ministry there. And bless the Larges in Nicaragua, that you just help them to find, just to seek out the Christians that would be able to take over that church there. And pray for the Kellers in Ukraine, Lord. Bless them in the new ministry there, that you just help them to raise up a church for your honor and glory there in Mrs. Keller's hometown and home area. We pray you bless this service for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let us go back to our hymn book, 673. 673.
Every breath around the place.
get to the end of the chorus, it says we'll sing and shout. If everyone can shout the word shout, let it be heard from the neighbors that we're singing about heaven and we're excited that we're saved and that we want them to be saved as well. So let's sing it out nice and loud on the second verse. So let's have the ladies sing the second. Someone check pulses this morning, see if everyone's still breathing. Let's try it again on the third. Men on the third. Ladies, join us on the chorus. When we get to the last part, we'll sing and shout! Yeah, let it be shouted that you're happy in Jesus, you know? Don't let the devil win in your life. Don't let him discourage you. We're happy that Jesus is in charge. Amen. Let's sing that third verse. Men, let us sing. Reading this morning, Psalm number 52 is the next one. I'm going to ask Brother Watkins to come and read this for us. Psalm 52, we'll read it responsively. So when you have found it, please stand with us for the reading of God's Word.
Psalm 52, everybody have that? To the chief musician, Mashal, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working continuously. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy hiding dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah.
Righteousness also shall fear, and shall laugh at him.
Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his weaknesses.
And like a green olive tree in the house of God, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever.
I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. May God bless the reading of His Word. Pastor Rice?
Adjust it as needed. Amen. What a blessing to know that God is our Father and He has sent His Son Jesus to save us. We would like to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anybody need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you.
Okay.
Good to have Brother Dylan back with us, Dylan Corver from Summers Point, and
that's Kobler.
Kobler, I'm sorry, Corver. I think I'm thinking of the basketball player. You probably got that before too, Kobler. All right, good to have Brother Dylan with us. He found us through the internet, and his testimony is very unique. So I'd like him to share it for us, how and when he got saved, and what the Lord's been doing in his life. Because I think it's kind of where we're going as a church in our ministry. We're getting online. We already are online audio.
Yeah.
Now we're looking to get online video, and I think this is right down the line of where God helped Brother Dylan. So if you don't mind, if you want to stand there, or if you want to come up, it's up to you. Okay, great. Yeah, come on up here.
Do you mind if I read some scripture and go along?
Sure, absolutely.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you could turn, please, to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Bible says here, it's one of my favorite scriptures, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." In verse 11, it says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son."
Amen.
Amen. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So, I go to that scripture because it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." And I don't know if a lot of you are like me, that before knowing Jesus, it kind of felt like we didn't have life. We didn't have something dwelling within us. We didn't have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely was looking for that purpose and looking for mostly the truth.
Mm. Amen.
And especially these days, truth is hard to find.
Mm.
And so, living before Christ, I grew up in my family as a Reformed Jew. So basically, it was just a casual religious kind of experience. And we basically, went to synagogue, kept the Passover, sort of. And, that was all fine and dandy. But growing up, not being raised in a Christian home with a lot of rules and a lot of godly counsel, I began to become really confused. And I always had a lot of anger issues growing up as a child. So basically, that wasn't good for my parents. That wasn't good for me. And it was just a hard experience, and I never really knew what hard work was. And basically I started having a lot of trouble in my life. So what ended up happening was I kind of started to become an atheist, because in Judaism they didn't really preach on the Bible. They didn't really teach the Bible. And so we kind of learned about the five books of Moses, but they didn't take it seriously. And so I just kind of thought it was a joke. I would mess around in synagogue. I would play around and just goof off and kind of be rebellious towards the people in the synagogue. And so basically, I got out of synagogue because I didn't like it, and I kind of wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, when you're that age, sometimes you think you know everything. And so in school, I went to public school, and we were taught about evolution, and we were taught how that was a fact. Literally, the guy said it was a fact. So I basically just bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I just went with that and said, well, this is great, you know, evolution, we're evolving, we're becoming better, and I wonder where that's going to take me. So now I'm like 11 years old, I'm kind of in fifth grade, and basically at that time in my life, I really just wasn't serious about anything. I was like pretty much addicted to video games, and that's common among people at that age. And so, you know, it was just like, I really was searching for something that I didn't have, and life was not as meaningful. So, you know, when you kind of grow up and you start to be mature a little bit, kind of when you're like 13, 14, or 15, basically, I was just kind of looking for a purpose in my life. I was figuring out what I wanted to do and, you know, looking for now truth. So I'm looking for truth. Okay? And then my sister actually was a big influence in my life. She's still an unbeliever, so, you know, pray for her. But she basically had been an atheist and was kind of what got me to start becoming an atheist. And I felt real cool, you know, just not believing in God, being a rebel and everything. And basically, after that point in my life, she also started looking for something more. Because you can only be an atheist for so long before you start to break down. Even famous atheists, you know, on their deathbed, you know, they'll break down and they'll say, well, that I regret that, or more light, more light. So basically, she started getting into New Age theology. And I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's all the transcendental meditation and the spiritual practices and things like that. So I started getting into that, and I thought that was the truth. And it really just wasn't anything. It's just like all the other religions. You have to work and keep working to really get something out of it, and it ends up just being not worth it in the end. And so I kind of was depressed at that point. Now, fast forward a couple years, and I'm going on Ocean City Boardwalk. I come here in the summer. I live in Summers Point, so I basically come down here in the summer, but this year I'm staying a little longer because of my schooling situation now. But I used to argue with the preachers on the boardwalk and try and, you know, school them and tell them that, you know, how do you believe this? This is just sand scribbling from the desert, and I'm not sure how you believe that. It doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, I basically went to a trip to see my sister in Colorado. She lives in Colorado. And when I came back, I got sick on the plane. And it was kind of like one of those sicknesses where it's almost like a spiritual sickness too. It has like a spiritual aspect. Like it's kind of like, you know, you're going into the desert or something. It's just you feel really weary and you feel something's not right. Something's definitely not right. When I was over there, she made me go to a New Age, basically not festival, but kind of like a convention. You know, you have your Baptist conventions and all that, but they have New Age conventions. And I was getting all this false information there, and I was starting to get into that. I knew something wasn't right. So I come home, I get this sickness for a week, and what ended up happening was I just was looking on YouTube and kind of seeing things on these New Age pages about Jesus, right? So I started getting into Jesus online. People start talking about him. In these New Age circles, they talk about Jesus just being a mystic or just a monk or, you know, some type of Hindu practicing hippie, basically, down there in Jerusalem. So I looked into, you know, is Jesus really who he says he is in the Bible? Or is the Bible just, you know, just false and just a mechanism of control? And, you know, is it really the truth? So, when I was sick, I said, you know what, I might as well just start looking. I got nothing better to do. Let's just start looking online for some information on this dude. That's what I said. So, so I went on Netflix, and I actually saw this movie, The Passion of the Christ. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. You probably have. But it was a Roman Catholic movie, I think, but it definitely opened my eyes to Jesus in a new way that I didn't know before. And, you know, we judge things based on their fruits, right? So this movie bore some fruit clearly in me, because when I was watching it, I just felt something different. I felt like, you know, Jim Caviezel, the guy that was playing in it, was definitely portraying Jesus in a way that he had authority, and he knew something that the religious people of the day did not know. They didn't know kind of what he was doing and what he was all about. And he was all about your heart and you know, the law on your heart. And since I grew up in synagogue, I kind of knew what he was talking about a little bit. And when they show the Last Supper and the Passover, it was just a really, really great thing. But kind of like when they got to the point where he was being sentenced to crucifixion, and just his words, just his responses, just nobody talks like that. Nobody speaks like that. And so, you know, just watching him was really special, and I really basically learned even more about who he was and kind of how he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and he was prophesied in our scriptures, or I don't consider them to be my scriptures, they're God's scriptures. But what we would always say is, you know, the Old Testament is not the Old Testament, it's the Testament, it's our scriptures in synagogue. But we didn't really believe any of it, we didn't really practice any of it, we were just reformed casual people. And, you know, you look in Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, you know, all these points where these people were giving me information online, you know, after searching, you can find so much on the internet today, about Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament. And so that kind of really opened my eyes to, well, he was pretty much a fulfillment of all of the Jews' prophecies. And it's truly amazing when you look at the parallels. So, yeah, I watched that movie, and after, when you see the crucifixion, it's just, you know, you have tears in your eyes, because, you know, someone did that for me, someone did that for you. And you know, the offer of salvation is just believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on the Son of God and thou shalt be saved. So, you know, basically after a couple of months of researching and looking into Jesus, I just finally said, you know what, I got nothing better to do. I'm doing homeschool now, and I decided that even before becoming a Christian, because when you're in public high school, a lot of times it just, the peer pressure and the social pressure can just get to you, and it's really a lot of wickedness going on in the schools there. So, you know, I said, I'm just going to go on a little spiritual adventure, and I'm gonna look into this guy Jesus. And so I got myself in a church, and they altar called me, and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but my hand just shot up. And so I went up there, and I confessed faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was 1 year ago, or over a year ago, in May 2017. And I got baptized in a Baptist church in Florida in January 2018, so that would be this year. And ever since, it's just been an amazing, blessed life. And of course, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we don't live perfect lives, we don't live flawless lives, but you can bring everything to the Father in prayer, and he'll set you straight. So, you know, praise God, I'm saved today, and look forward to the rest of the things God is going to do for me in my life, and I'm happy to be here at this church, so thank you everybody for having me. So, amen. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Wow, what a blessing to hear what God's doing in Brother Dylan's heart, and that's kind of going along with what we want to do, get online, because so many, I wonder how many more young people are just like Brother Dylan there, searching for truth, saying, this is all the things the world is telling me, they don't satisfy. They're not fulfilling me inside. I need someone who can fulfill me, and that's Jesus Christ. So what a blessing. So I definitely believe we need to get online more. We have our audio online, but then there's some who will just listen to audio. Then there's some who like to see the video and the audio together on a video. So so pray for us. Brother Pastor Logan said we need new lighting up here. So that's something Mr. Hodge and I have been talking about for a little while. But he says like LED, I was thinking hi-hat lights we can put up into the ceiling to go all the way across up here. So that way there's enough light on every part of whoever's speaking, whoever's singing. So that way from the back they can see it on the internet. So pray for that, and if you feel led to give toward some hi-hats to put up into the ceiling, since we don't have much space on here, I've talked to electrical experts, lighting experts, they said do hi-hats, go, you know, recessed lighting into the ceiling that goes up into the attic, and that way we can get the proper lighting up here for video. So let us pray, and if you feel led to give toward that, just designate that on your envelope or on your check if you would feel led. And what a blessing. It kind of goes with our theme today and tonight. Tonight we're looking at the soul winner's fire and a special blessing for the soul winner. So come on back tonight at 7 o'clock for our evening service. And we have a video that we're going to show. We'll just postpone that to the beginning of the message. So come on back tonight. Bring a food item with you tonight if you can. We're going to have a food fellowship afterward. That way we can get to know one another better. Brother Dylan comes and we can get to know him better, etc. So come on back tonight as we really look into soul winning and why it's so important as that we as Christians do this. And also we'll be going out this Saturday at 1 p.m. I know our ladies have their fellowship at 4 at Carol Gibson's house, but we also want to invite everyone to come at 1 p.m. here at the church. We go out for an hour and a half, soul winning in our neighborhood in Atlantic County. Then we want to also mention the ladies' Bible study this Saturday at 4 p.m. at Carol Gibson's house, and dinner will be provided. Bring a Bible and a friend to this. Then on the back page, our Music Matters Conference. It's a music conference with one of our sister churches, Pastor McMenamin, and we look forward to that. It's October 13th, Saturday, October 13th. We'll meet here at 8 a.m. We'll get there about 9 or so, 9:15, 9, and that way we can just enjoy fellowship with one of our sister churches, and they're going to teach on this important topic of music and different things on it, vocal singing, service or show, vibrancy in worship, participation in worship. And so sign up on the back table there. And in the insert page of the bulletin, we praise the Lord for the Good News Club. That's, the dates are on there. That's a big answer to prayer. Then we're also collecting a care package for two Bible college and one Bible college, one seminary student, Brother Matthias, our intern, and Brother Ethan, our seminary student, as they train for the ministry. We want to encourage them. And any items that you want to bring in, whether it be cookies, food, goodies, quarters, you know, a little snack, a card, something like that, if you'd like to give that, just put it right under the table in a bag, and we'll get that to them. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That which we give to God of our tithe and our offering. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for staying up the money about the people. Lord, just in my prayer, amen.
Amen. Amen. Comes to you, you can write a note of encouragement to him for his birthday. All right. This time, let us go back to our hymn book. Hymn number... Actually, we're going to have our teens come up. The teens that went to the Bible quiz competition / overnight gym time and the great time we had at the Teen Jamboree with Community Baptist Church in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania. Come on up, all six teens who went, 6th through 12th graders, and let's turn in our Majesty hymn books to hymn number 56. They're going to help us sing a song that's in here that we worked on the ride back and forth about listening to God's voice in the Bible, listening to what He says. So, hymn number 56 in the red hymn book, and I'm going to have them share a testimony of what they learned from the weekend or what they enjoyed, what was a blessing to them, how God blessed them. So we'll start with Paul. Go ahead.
The Jamboree really blessed me. I got strengthened by the Word of God with all the sermons and from the missionary Zach Whitener. And then I loved the fellowship for like gym games. Really brought back
the
memories.
Amen. Hey, Jonathan. No,
it's just a blessing to have seen everyone that I've known for a year, kind of. And a lot of friends from camp and all. Nice to see them again. I got to meet quite a few new people at this thing, too, so that was a big blessing.
Amen. That's good. Okay. This is Zamora.
It was a blessing to meet new friends and play with me.
Okay, Zion.
Blessing to be with Mr. Mathias.
Mr. Matthias' family, all right.
I enjoyed the preaching as well and being with your friends.
Amen. And Rachel.
I'm
okay, wonderful. All right, 56. We're going to sing the verse, the first verse, and then everyone join us on the chorus. This is the chorus, number 56. And then they'll sing the second verse and join us on the chorus. It goes along with what I'm preaching about today, about Adam, the first Adam and the last Adam. So let us sing the song together. Everyone calling us to walk in the Listen to the depths of His wisdom. Listen to the truth of His word. Come and taste the joy of His presence. Listen to His voice. Amen. Thank you, young people. At this time, we'll have our special music. So stay on up here, kids. To tell people about Jesus.
The preacher, any preacher whose main business in life isn't winning souls is a fake. He's a fraud. He's not earning his salary. Christians ought to win souls. I don't mean only preaching in the pulpit. I mean going to get people saved. That every good Christian wins souls. And the truth of the matter is, nobody ought to be a preacher until he's already a soul winner. Nobody ought to be a deacon if he's already a soul winner. Nobody's fit to teach Sunday school class if you don't win souls. Now, you listen to me. The main thing to do for God is soul winning. That's what Jesus died for. That's what the Great Commission's about. That's what the church is for. You can't win everybody, but you can dead sure win somebody. You may have to talk to several. Sometimes maybe talk to 10 to get one. But the more you get into it in prayer and the Holy Spirit leads you, it might get down where you want out of every 4, 5, or 6 you talk to. But I'm just saying, as guaranteed soul winning anybody, you say, but I don't have a talent for that. If you did that, that wouldn't do it. Or you say, but I don't know enough Bible. Well, we'll soon settle that. You come to me after the service and I'll show you how to find John 3:16 in your Bible, and then you're loaded. No, you're making lying excuses. What Bible you got, you learn some more, but you better use what you got. That's right. a Christian ought to win souls. Said, well, I'm not turned that way. Then I turn around. Yeah. So all right, everybody ought to win souls. Now here's a guaranteed way to do it. How am I going to win souls? He that goes forth. How are you going to start working at it? Now if you've got this in your program and this is a big thing in your heart, you'd set aside some time for it, wouldn't you? Anybody sit out 3 or 4 hours a week, you win several souls. And if you send several hours a day, you win somebody every day. What's the first word of the Great Commission? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. On going first. Oh, you say, I'm a preacher. Yeah, I know. The call is more on going than it is on preaching. See, no matter how good much theology you have, you're no good to God if you don't go after him. You know that? Yeah. If you're going fishing, you know the fellow puts in more hooks, catches more fish. You know the fellow that sows more seed, gets more crop. You know the salesman that visits more prospects, makes more sales. You know the politician that shakes more hands and makes more speeches and kisses more babies, more likely to get elected. He gets more votes. So the best soul winners are the ones who work at it most.
Snapshot into what's coming to this morning and tonight in our service. We'll dismiss our young people for their time together and come on back tonight, 7 o'clock, for our evening service. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 5. Romans 5, as we continue our study of Romans, this important topic, we've been studying through the book of Romans, now we're in Romans 5, verse 12. This is really a pivotal and key part in the Bible. This is the focus, should be the focus of every single person. That are you lost? Are you saved? Romans 5, 12 through 21, ask those questions of every individual in all the world. And these need to be answered from God's Word. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to look into your Word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, you'd move us, you'd motivate us, that you'd encourage us to let you have your way in our life. In every area, Lord, I pray if there's any area that you speak to us about this morning, that you would help us to give it over to you, to surrender it. As that song says, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, we know that's the key and the secret of joy in the Christian life, is not holding anything back, but giving it all to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that this morning. You'd give me an unction from you. You'd fill me with thy Spirit, that I may speak forth thy truth. That we may desire to be hearers and doers of the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 5 and verse 12. Let's read it together. You probably have some of these verses memorized. These are key verses in the scriptures. Key verses. Romans 5:12. Let's start there. Let's read it together. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment by one was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness by one Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we see this important truth this morning. We see this very important truth that, number one, all have sinned. All have sinned. The offense deserves hell. The offense deserves hell. Therefore, the offender deserves hell. Brother Dylan saw that in his life, that he said, you know, I'm lost. I'm lost. All these world religions, you know, Judaism, New Age, Eastern meditation, atheism, all these things are not saving me and they're not satisfying my soul. And I realize I'm lost. I am a sinner, and we cannot get to heaven by our own good works. We can't get to heaven by doing what we think we should be able to, because our own human reasoning is flawed. So many people, they're following that road right now. They're into world religions. They're into just trying to satisfy their conscience so it stops nagging at them. So they get involved in something. They get involved in giving and volunteering and charity work and in this and going to this church or going to that synagogue or going to this mosque or going to this thing. And you know what? It's not satisfying and it's not saving their soul. Now here's how, in practice, how many of us Christians live. How many Christians, it should read, all have sinned and the offender deserves hell, but here's how we actually live in Christianity today. Here's how we live. Some have sinned. Those that are saved have sinned. But we're saved now. That's how we read it as we live our life without caring one lick about a person next to us who's not saved. That's how we really, in practice, that's how we understand this passage. That's how we really are applying it to our life. Some have sinned, but praise God, they're saved now, so they're okay. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We seem to have forgotten that at times in our Christian life, and we cannot forget that, or else we are literally causing our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members to literally die in their sins and go to hell. I was listening to a sermon last night as I was preparing my message, and the young preacher said, you know, I was at work and the Lord was prompting me. It was a dead time at work. There was no one around, literally just a perfect opportunity to present Christ. The Holy Spirit was prompting me, hey, share the word, share the gospel. This is the perfect time. There they'll listen. And instead, he didn't do it. He just talked about other things and never steered the conversation into Christ, never steered the conversation into sin, and its result being death and hell, and that Jesus died for his sins, and that he could be saved from his sins if he would just come to trust Christ as Savior. And he just kept going. Well, they got off work. He went home after work. Came into work the next day. Found out his coworker committed suicide that very night. The night before. He committed suicide. He thought all was hopeless. All was lost. That, you know what? I'm just going to end it all. There's no meaning in life. There's no purpose to life. There's nothing. It's pointless.
So he killed himself. Oh, how things could have changed, he said, if I only would have listened to the Holy Spirit.
And said, this man needs to be saved. He said, his blood is on my hands. Let's go over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, a very important passage when it comes to the gospel. Ezekiel chapter 33, it's in the Old Testament. It's near the end of the Old Testament. So if you find Matthew, just go back a few, some the minor prophets with a major message. That's what I learned this weekend from the Jamboree. Micah is one of the minor prophets with a major message. Ezekiel 33. One of the teens who went to the... He memorized all seven chapters of Micah. He got 116 out of 150 questions correct. And many of the questions were, quote this verse. Quote Micah 6:3. Quote Micah 2:9. Quote Micah 1:14. And this gentleman, this teenager, probably in about 10th grade, he was able to quote them all. One time he got one word wrong. He misquoted one word in a longer verse. And the quiz master is going to say, well, you got that word wrong. Everyone's like, give it to him. You know, this kid used his time wisely, memorized the verses from Micah. As a result, he now has hid seven chapters of the Word of God in his heart. One of those verses is very important, that God hath cast our sin into the depths of the deepest sea and will remember them no more. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou art little among the nations, yet shall come out of thee a ruler to rule my people Israel. And Micah, all those encouraging verses in Micah, he has them now memorized, locked in his memory bank. You know how important it is. The truth is, if we're honest with ourselves as Christians, we just make excuses for why we can't serve God, why we can't give the gospel, why we're too busy, why we're, no, Lord, you don't understand, you know. I have my everyday life. Day after day passes and vanishes away. We'll never get it back. One day soon we'll be going into heaven, into eternity. And you know what? In eternity we'll wish we had been more serious about God. We'll wish we had taken more time to memorize God's scriptures so we could hide it in our heart, so we might not sin against Him and walk in the Spirit and not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We'll wish. But the time is now that we can still change that. God gives us today still. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye shall speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? As say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Here we see such an important commission has been given to not just the prophet Ezekiel, but to all of us who read the scriptures. God has given this important commission. And Jesus gave it before he came, went back into heaven. He says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is the commission Jesus gave us to be? To go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because we are watchmen and watchwomen of men's souls. We are literally standing at the gate between heaven and hell for their soul, for all eternity, where they're going to go. God has given us this very important purpose in life that I never really understood why it's so important to literally, even before we teach the new Christian that much, we need to teach them first to be a soul winner. You say, why is that? Why teach the new Christian to be a soul winner? Because that gives them their blessing in the Christian life. Come on back tonight to hear about the soul winner's blessing from God, the many places in Scripture where the soul winner is guaranteed more blessings than the Christian who does not. And the soul winner truly has the spirit filling of the Lord in his life. So come on back tonight for that. But right now we're going to look at the sevenfold sin of not winning souls. You say, Pastor, why do I need to win souls? Why can't I just be the silent witness? I'll be the silent witness. I'll let my actions lead people to Christ. You know, that's what many Christians want to do today. I'll be a silent witness for Jesus. Well, let me ask you this question. Did you get saved from a silent witness or from a soul winner? Who did you get saved from? Was the pastor who led you to the Lord a silent witness or a soul winner? Your mom or your dad, were they a silent witness or a soul winner? The person on the internet, in Brother Dylan's case, were they a silent witness or a soul winner? The answer is, I guarantee you, none of us in this room got saved by a silent witness. We got saved by a soul winner. Someone who loved on us enough to tell us the truth about ourselves, that we're sinners and we need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. So here we see, it's so important that we become a watchman for souls. That we cannot take this lightly. We can't say, well, that's just, you know, one of many doctrines in the Bible, so therefore I'll just bury that doctrine. No, the problem is it's not just one of many doctrines. It is the main crucial doctrine throughout the Scriptures, the first doctrine in the Scriptures that is confronted over and over and over with anyone who reads the Bible, is the fact of sin and the need of a Savior. That the gospel is the first truth that is constantly being presented from Genesis to Revelation, that our sin deserves hell. And then we need Jesus to save us. And so if that's the first doctrine that people need to see, then don't you think it's also the first doctrine for a Christian to get settled with God? It is. To be a soul winner. Dr. John R. Rice says the best Christians in all the world, he said, I've traveled the country, I've traveled the world, the best Christians that I ever meet are the soul winners. He said, why? Because they've been taught they need to be winning souls. So number one, the sin of disobedience to the main command of Christ. As we look back at Romans 5 and verse 12, we see that Adam brought sin into the world. and death by sin. So death reigned from Adam to Moses, verse 14. After the similitude, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Aren't you glad that this passage doesn't stop there with the truth that all have sinned? The second truth is many can be saved. Many can be saved, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more through the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Aren't you glad that we are one of the many that answered the call? Aren't you glad that you're one of the many that got saved? That you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Well, you know what? There are many more right out in our society, in our community. You know, I've never met Brother Dylan, but he's been living at Summers Point every summer. Boy, I wish we would have met before this, right? He reminded me when he told his testimony last summer when we were on the Ocean City Boardwalk that literally three teen boys came up to me about Dylan's age, came up and said, "Hey, what you're saying as you're preaching, is that really true?" I said, "Yes, it is, right from the Bible." He said, well, how can we be saved? How can we do that? You know, how often does that happen where, you know, young people just say, "Hey, I want to be saved." And so I showed them right there how they could be saved. And one by one, they did what the Bible says. They saw that they were sinners. They saw that Jesus died on the cross for them. They saw that they were worthy of hell. And they said, "We don't want to go there. We want Jesus to be our Savior." And I wonder if all these seeds we've been sowing over the years, now we're starting to bring fruit on that. You know, Dylan may not have been the one we talked to. But then four more teen boys, right after I led them to the Lord, another 20 minutes transpired. I was continuing to preach on the boardwalk, and four more teen boys came over and did the same thing. "Hey, how can we be saved? It was what you're saying true. Well, how do we do that?" You know, we see a hunger in this country like we've never seen before. Why? Because people know down in their heart of hearts, young people know, that what the world is feeding them is garbage. That evolution is garbage. That I'm just an accident and a product of chance, and that I have no real purpose for why I'm here, and I am just to live however I want and just grovel myself into sin and wickedness and destruction and just go and die. You know, young people are too smart for that. Too smart for that. And so they say, there's got to be purpose. So they're searching for purpose, searching for meaning in life. And praise the Lord, Brother Dylan found some Christians, born-again Christians on the internet. They're able to then show him the gospel and then mentor him. And then he found local churches, church to lead him to the Lord. And then another church down in Florida to teach him Bible truth. And there's other Baptist preachers on the internet that have good videos on there about soul winning, about growing in the Lord. And you know, it's there. For whoever wants the Lord, it's there. The gospel is there. The Bible teaching is there. And so I'm so thankful that we see in front of us the answer as well. So number one, here we see number two, many can be saved. The gift of grace gets heaven, not by merit, but by simply receiving the free gift. The first point was the offense, and the offender deserves hell because of the offense. Well, here the second point, the receiver of the gift of grace gets heaven. Wow, what a great truth. What a great truth. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them." And as I mentioned, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Every convert is to be baptized, then taught to observe all things Christ commanded the apostles. New converts were given the great commission to win souls. This is the main command for every Christian. Not to obey is grievous sin. So number one, we see the sin of disobedience to the main command of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know if that's the main command." Well, then why do all four Gospels have it right before Jesus goes back to heaven? Why do they all say, Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature"? That is the main command of the Christian, to the Christian. Our main command is not just optional. It's not just something we can give or take if we feel like it. And well, I'm going to, my ministry and my Christian life, what I emphasize is prayer. Well, my minute, the doctrine that I emphasize as a Christian is, I emphasize serving. Well, my doctrine that I emphasize is just walking with the Lord. You know. Well, how do we walk with the Lord? Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man will love me, he will keep my words. John 14. The sin of lack of love for Jesus Christ is number two. What are the sevenfold sin of not winning souls? The sin of lack of love for Jesus Christ. Number three, the sin of not following Jesus. This evangelist John R. Rice put these together. He said, Matthew 4:19, he said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. Then it is clear that one who follows Jesus will be a soul winner. But one who does not win souls is not truly following Jesus. So here we can't say, yes, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. I emphasize the other doctrines of the Christian life. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. I give my money in the offering plate. But I don't have as much emphasis on soul winning. See, a Christian who says that, they're lying. They're lying to God. And they're lying to themselves. They're lying. They're not really following Jesus. They're following a Jesus of their own making. They're following a Jesus who's not really the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible says to Peter and James and John, come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You're not going to just love fishing for fish, Peter, James, and John. You're pretty good at that. If you follow me, you're going to love fishing for the real thing, which is people. People. That's where we need to get to. We need to get back to the main thing of the Christian life. The main thing, number four of the sevenfold sin of not winning souls, the sin of not abiding in Christ. Jesus said, let's turn over there, John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. John 15 and verse 5. Let's read it together. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let's go to verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Here we see that Jesus wants us to have joy. But if we don't want to abide in Christ, He doesn't force us as a Christian to abide in Him. We can either abide in Christ or we can abide in ourselves. We can live in ourselves and live in our own carnal desires. You know, if a Christian is bent on lust, guess what? They can find it. If a Christian is bent on anger, guess what? They can go that way. If a Christian is bent on bitterness, not forgiving someone who wronged them, they can do that. They can. A Christian can still succumb to any sin that an unsaved person can do. And if they continue and persist in these sins, guess what? Then now they're open to other sins that are even deeper, that are even worse. Such as if they stay in bitter against God and bitter against people and unforgiving and stay in anger and stay in lust and stay in covetousness and stay in whatever sins, guess what? They can go to the next level, which is homosexuality, which is suicide. Which is dabbling in horrible things. You say, how can a Christian do that? Because Jesus doesn't force us to follow Him. Jesus gives us a choice. This day I set before you a choice to serve God or serve mammon. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and mammon. You got to pick who our master is going to be. And so the sin of not abiding in Christ, that Jesus speaks of not of being, but of doing. He speaks not of the fruit of the Spirit, but of the fruit of the Christian. That is, making more Christians. A tree may be beautiful, but beauty is not fruit. The nature of a tree is one thing. The fruit is another. Beauty, fragrance, size, and color in a fruit tree are like the graces wrought in a Christian by the Spirit. But peaches or apples or oranges are the fruit of the trees. And the fruit of a Christian is the spiritual reproduction of himself. The fruit of a vine is grapes. The fruit of a cow is a calf. The fruit of the womb is a child. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. One who abides in Christ brings forth much fruit. One who does not win souls does not abide in Christ. You know, this is so important that we see we have to reproduce ourselves. Just like when a couple gets married, a husband and wife get married, what's their first desire? You know, that God instinctively puts within them to reproduce themselves. They want to bear children. Okay, and that's as soon as you get saved, guess what? That's something what God wants to cultivate and harvest in your life. Hey, you just got saved. Hey, help someone else come to Christ. Bear fruit. Bear another Christian. Number five, the dishonesty, the sevenfold sin of not winning souls, the sin of dishonesty and a sacred trust. Paul says in Romans 1:14 and 15, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was in debt for a salvation beyond price. He could pay the debt only as he preached to others. Those who hear the gospel and do not tell it are dishonest. They do not pay an honest debt. To the servant who hid the money given him to use for the master's profit and who brought no increase, the master said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Matthew 25:26. To take and not give, to owe and not pay is dishonest. So is the Christian who does not win souls. And so we don't want to get on this side of God, to get on the side of God that where he has to judge us for not winning souls. You know, that's a sad part of God's side. He doesn't want to have to judge us for that. He doesn't want to have to say, hey, my child, I have in heaven, I want you to be bright. I want you to be shining. I want you to be, you to glow with my glory up in heaven. Why? How can you do that? By winning souls. They that shall be wise shall be as the bright, as shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Here in sin number six of the sevenfold sin of not winning souls, the folly of a short-sighted fool. You know, we as Christians can be fools. You say, oh wait, I thought a fool. It's wrong to call someone a fool, because Jesus said that in the Gospels. He's talking about the fellow who that's all he does is call people fools and who doesn't believe in Christ as Savior, and you know, he's empty-headed himself. That's what rock means. But you know, we as Christians can be empty-headed as well if we don't win souls. Why? Because the soul winner is a wise person and blessed with eternal rewards. The short-sighted Christian who does not win souls is a fool. That one day when we get up there, we're going to be in the midst of some pretty bright people. We should have some kind of brightness with us too, right? We should be shining too. We should have some way to shine. Not for our own glory, but because we want Jesus to be proud of us. We want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then the last sin of not winning souls is the sin of spiritual manslaughter, which I read earlier. As Ezekiel was a watchman who must give an account and be blood guilty of his negligence and let people die in their sins, so is every Christian accountable. The Christian who lets loved ones and neighbors die unwarned has blood on his hands and will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. The soul winner is the better Christian. And there are special blessings for the soul winner. We're going to look at that tonight. But as we close this message this morning, we see that the offense brought the first Adam to lead us to destruction. But Jesus is the second Adam. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that Jesus is the second Adam and that He has died on that cross. 1 Corinthians 15:45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Here Jesus, He paid the price for our sin. He bought our righteousness and the grace, the gift of the grace of God. He bought that with His own precious blood. Is it to us an unworthy thing to even talk about? Well, yeah, I'm glad I'm saved, and we'll talk about how we're saved, but we won't talk about it to someone who's not saved. How is that loving to God? How is that appreciating the free gift that Jesus gave us? You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard this morning. Well, I believe God put this message here. We're doing the study of Romans. This just happens to be where it's at. And this happens to be where God's put on my heart. You know, and Brother Dylan just came last week for the first time. He says, hey, can you teach me how to be a soul winner? You know, hey, that's something I just love to do. You know, is it easy every day that I go out soul winning? Is that easy? Oh, yeah, I can't wait to go soul winning. No, it's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. And God will give you the strength to do it. See, God will help us to become bold. You say, Lord, I'm not bold. I can't do much. I can't open my mouth. Well, guess what they said in Acts chapter 8? They said, Lord, give us boldness. We lack it in ourselves. That's what happens. If we let Christ abide in us, if we abide in Christ and we say, Lord, I'm willing to put away that sin. Lord, I'm willing to put away this sin. If we surrender our sins to Christ, He's going to fill us with His Spirit and He's going to make us more and more bold. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll grow in boldness. We'll grow in victory. And we will be able to see more people get saved as we have these things. And that's my desire. I'm not content with, yes, the sum that I've led to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some of them are now up in heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to meeting them and being able to share more with them. But you know what? Let's not be content with the one or two we've led to Christ. Or the however many you've led. Let's think of where we're at now. We have a debt to pay. That we owe a debt to Christ to tell others about Jesus. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rice, the Lord has spoken to my heart about some area of my life that I'm not giving over to Him, and I really see I need to give that over to Him. I want Him to have His way in that area of my life or those areas of my life, and I want to let Him have His way. If that's you this morning, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, Pastor Rice, pray for me. I want to let God have His way in a certain area of my life, and I want to be able to have victory in it. I'm not content living how I'm living. I'm not content because it's not satisfying. Maybe you say, Pastor Rice, it's the one thing that God's spoken to me about this morning is soul winning. And I realize I need to do it. And it scares me a little bit, but I know that God can help me do this. And I'm going to ask Him to help me be a soul winner. I'm willing to let Him work in my life in that area. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a soul winner. And I'm asking God this morning to help me to become one. To help me become a better one. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, Pastor Rice, I don't know. I don't know what my problem is this morning. But I sense a laziness, or I sense an apathy, and it scares me because I know that things are not right. Things are not right in my life, but I don't want that to stay that way. I want to let God have His way. I don't want to be apathetic. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, right there, you see, amen, amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen. Appreciate you being honest. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, that even though Adam plunged us all into sin, that the last Adam, Jesus Christ, got for us the freedom from sin through His precious blood. Lord, we pray that we would seek, or that we would do some soul searching today. Soul searching tonight. Bring us back tonight, Lord. Teach us more about this ministry that we have of reconciliation. Teach us more, Lord, that we would see what we have in front of us, Lord, and that we would, that you'd give us help in how to do it. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn in our hymn book, hymn number 548 tonight, this morning. 548. Bring a food item with you if you can tonight. We'll have some good fellowship after the service. 548. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you need to come for any reason, would you come? Maybe you want to kneel at the altar. Maybe you want to pray for someone in your family who's not saved. Pray for that brother, sister, child, mom, dad, cousin, niece, nephew, daughter, son. Would you come and kneel at the altar and pray for their soul? Pray for them to be saved. Would you come as we sing this song? Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin?
Yeah. She really likes food.
That's good.